Hey everybody, this is Wade with Wade for Wireless, and today I got some feedback for you. I got a ton of feedback. It's probably what you're going to hear over the next couple weeks. It's just the way it is. Sorry. I've been really busy, wanted to get this out for a while. Other stories popped up, so here it is. This is part one of two about, will the tower industry police itself? I got a lot of feedback over this story because... Yeah, there's a lot of, I brought up the question about whether we should have a tower climbers union, and that sparked a lot of controversy. A lot of people said no, they're trying to come up. Now, the good thing is, even people against unions are trying to come up with a better way to reward the tower climber. But a lot of them are around compensation, which is good. We all want to get paid, right? But it's hard to get more compensation when everything's put out to bid and they drive the price lower and lower and lower. Not complaining about the bidding process. I'm just saying, you know, try to be fair when you accept a price and also try to put the right demands on the company ahead of time. Okay. I'm not just talking about the scope of work, but I'm talking about the safety requirements. Safety costs money. I brought up again and again. So anyway, getting away from that. I'm just going to go right into the comments, okay? And this is about the tower industry policing itself. And this is very important because if we don't keep a watch over this industry, who will? Chances are nobody. So that's why I think it's important for us to take the time and understand what we have to do for this industry. And I know a lot of you guys are out there saying, not my problem. And everyone says that till they get hurt or until someone on their crew gets hurt. Then they try to think, well, what could we have done to prevent it? It's a one-off. Well, let me tell you, there were 12 one-offs last year, and they all died. There were two auto accidents for tower climbers. There were climbers that died in other ways. There were a lot of climbers that got hurt last year. There were guys that, you know, that can't work for the next year or two, okay? Just don't think there's one aspect to this. We have to look at ways to improve this industry, not only to make it safer, but to make it more efficient. Wireless deployment is going to be necessary over the next 10 to 20 years. And the way I see it, the tower climber is not going away. They're going to need more. But the industry drives them away with low pay and crazy, unsafe practices. All right. So let's get into the comments. So the first one is like, wow, I agree so much of what you say is truth. I'm an 11-year veteran of the industry, and it is a passion that kept me in. I believe if the big three, AT&T, et cetera, would see that you cannot replace an injured worker with anyone just to get the system online, it will get punched. Please, I have trained my share. How many still in few, but some... You know what? He probably typed it in his cell phone. But they are in damn good hands. It doesn't pay, but the pay doesn't match. So here he is. He's trying to do a lot of good work for his the carriers, and they don't want to pay him anything. That's how he feels. So he says, keep up the good work here. So I think what he's trying to say is, here's a guy, been in the industry 11 years, okay? And he's got a passion for it. He loves to climb. He does a lot of work for the carriers. And I'd be surprised if he worked directly for the carriers. He's probably two or three layers down, you know, from turf vendor to local vendor, local GC, whatever it is, wireless contractor, general contractor. And then they find the local guy to do the work. And the reason for that is because there aren't a lot of large tower companies, at least tower crews out there. I know MasTec geared up, and then what happened? They hired all those people, and AT&T said, you know, we changed our mind. We're losing focus, or we didn't lose focus. We changed our focus over to something else. And then MasTec had to lay all those people off after they trained them and made a commitment. So it's a heavy cash burn. I know a lot of you out there, there's mixed feelings with MasTec, okay? I get it. I get about payment terms and all that. I've been reading on the post what's been happening. But my point is, it's very hard to plan in this industry. That's why a lot of smaller crews survive. They can find enough work to support two to three crews rather than someone supporting 15 crews. It's a lot of crews. So my response is thanks. I do appreciate it. And a lot of times when there's an accident, I hear that the customer is more concerned about two things during an injury, when someone gets injured or when there's a death. And it's usually the schedule and their reputation. So, you know what they rarely worry about? Lawsuits, is because a lot of these carriers are like two or three levels down. They don't care. That's all in the tower crew. That's all in the climbing company. That's their problem. And that's something that I hear again and again. So they aren't really concerned about any type of lawsuit or anything affecting them. And most of that's because back when there was a precedent set when there was an injured worker and their family sued AT&T, and the judge determined that because AT&T put that layer of turf fenders in between them and the climber, that they couldn't be held liable. And it went right down the line. The people, I guess, from what I read, and I have the links in there, ProPublica did a good job on it. And Public TV did a good job on it too. So there's a way to look back and see how the lawsuits have gone in the past. And usually it stops with the climbing company, you know. It's a climbing company that gets fined by OSHA, which, you know, a lot of times there is negligence. If they fine them, it depends what the fine is, you know, whether it was purposeful or whether it was negligence or what it was. But, you know, OSHA's trying to set a precedent there. So, not to get off subject, but whenever there is something that happens, the end customer is worried about their reputation. The end customer is worried about the schedule because they know it's going to impact the schedule. They may not say that, but in the end, the reality is they want the job done. And I know someone that got hurt recently and they didn't get paid because they didn't finish a job. They brought in another crew, finished the job. That's just the way it was. It's not like it's a no risk, no reward. It's a high risk, low reward. That's the way it feels many times. So I know I'm bringing up some bad things here with all that, but let's look at TYRAP, and they're setting a model to follow, and Nate's working on training standards. Those are all good things because we're setting the standards in place, and I just don't think that the lowest bidder is going to win anymore. I think there's going to be requirements that the lowest bidder is going to have. You can't just go out and say, yeah, we'll do it, you know, for this amount of money and then just hire any schmuck. I think they're going to start looking at what the climbing crews have as far as training, as far as tools, and they're going to have to follow a set guideline before they can be allowed to bid, let's say. So now, with that said, safety's not cheap. I bring that up again and again. I know I'm all over the place here. I'm trying to settle on one thought, but when the customer demands low prices, and they continue to demand unrealistic schedules, there's going to be a problem. The problem's going to continue. And the way I see it, safety is in the hands of the crew owners and the customer because they're the ones setting the standard and setting the example. Now, let me break that down a little more. The owner of the company that runs the crews sets a standard by not just putting safety in place and a safety manual, and they write it up and they say, well, we tell them to be safe and we send them to, you know, a 1 or 2 day class and they should be ready for anything. It's not how it works. Safety culture is huge. When I went to TYRAP, you can see how the owner of a company can really affect the safety culture if he cares about his people. And I talk to people there, a lot of managers that go out and they make sure their crews practice safety on a monthly or bi-monthly basis. It's very important that they do that because then it shows the climbers that the owners or the managers or the company does care about them and it cares about their safety, because there's more to it than just taking that course in the beginning and getting the certification. The important thing is that they understand that the culture of the company is all about doing the right thing, doing the safe thing, and also trying to get as efficient as possible with deployments. You got to set your systems up in place to be efficient. It's very hard in this type of work because every tower is a little different. All the equipment's a little different. It's not as cookie cutter as we would all like it to be. We want it to be cookie cutter because that makes it fast and easy and it does cut costs. But there's a safety factor and not everything is the same. So that's what I see for that. So I'd better move on to the next one. I know I stammered there a lot. I was trying to put my thoughts together. Sorry. So the next comment's a really good one. It's a long one, but it's a good one. So points to make. Get the charlatans out of the industry. The last few years have seen a huge growth and everybody wants a piece of the pie. This includes turfers that have no frickin' clue as to what they signed up for and or give. He swears, about the GCs actually hanging their ass out there in the wind dealing with these idiots. Company owners, foremen, leads right down to the FNG need to make safety the daily priority. There is no substitute for on-the-job training, just like there is no substitute for climber rescue training and practice. Safety isn't just a classroom study. There is class, instruction work, and hands-on. Every day there is something different. Training people to pay attention and identify issues is a daily thing. It never stops. Aptitude is something that you have or you don't have. It cannot be trained, instructed, or expected of someone who does not possess it. Identifying this early is the only way to be proficient and safe in this industry. More points. I told you it was long. This guy has good comment, though. Tie wrap has good intentions, but ran, just like any other class, getting a D minus is still passing. That goes back to the aptitude and attitude that many people want to be medical doctors in some countries can be, even though you wouldn't want them to work on you. People have to be built for this work mentally and physically. The government should set basic standards and then step off. Are we adults or babies? If you're the latter, this is the wrong place for you. If you're the former, act like it. This is a business and hopefully your name. Treat it right. You can only sell your soul once. Unions, like communism, has worn out its usefulness and welcome. Now, it's just a tick sucking off the system and occasionally killing someone off. This is not a business for whiners, con men, or swindlers. This is a business for real men and women. Honesty and integrity are paramount. Really, everything starts with these two things. Sadly, those are the two things missing from the majority of the society and in this business. It's a difference between life and death. Yes, there are plenty of companies out there without those qualities, but they will burn down or out in the short term, and in the process make life more difficult for the rest. The large companies, Mastech included, have not paid GCs on projects for the last 3 years pretty regularly, so I have to disagree with you on that one. Thanks for reading this, and I hope I didn't make anybody crazy with the jumping around a bit. Sometimes my rants go that way. All I really want to say is that this industry is one of those that there isn't any room for rationalizing. It is do or don't do. Half-assed will get someone killed. Okay, that was the whole response. It was pretty good, actually. He made a lot of good points, and he also said about getting paid. It is hard to get paid in this business. I don't know why, it just is. People delay payment, mostly for their own terms, but that's why it's good to, you know, really understand how to get paid and be ready to back it up by going to court. So my response is, you make several good points. This is a tough business. It's full of swindlers and con men. It just is. I think just because we don't communicate the way we should in this business. The best way we communicate about something like that is really on Facebook or a Yahoo group. It really isn't the best way to get the word out there. So what do we do? Word of mouth within the industry. I follow a few deployment pages, postings, only to see that there are climbers too, and businesses that just screw over others. Yeah, it's something that happens to other companies. Some people work for a company and walk with all they can carry out of that company, whether it's a good company or bad company. They take everything they can. They just steal from the company. The company doesn't have much of a recourse except to hold the last paycheck. Why'd they walk? Might have had a good reason. You know, I don't know. Maybe they didn't get paid. Maybe they're not getting paid per diem. Maybe they got screwed over in their pay. Maybe it was delayed pay. And you know what? That's going to screw up everybody's schedule. That's why payment terms matter. So I just want to point out that also, you know, it's not just the companies you work for. sometimes it's the people that work for you. And I've had that happen. I've hired people that just ran, just walked out. One day they're there, one day they're gone. Everything they had is gone. The tools, the laptop, they just don't come back to work. You call their house, you go where they live, they're gone. I mean, I've had that happen. That's a true story. Some guy worked for me. Next thing I know, he's gone. Didn't show up for work. I helped him get a place to, you know, this is just how crazy, you know, he came in, helped him get a place to live. He left, you know, at least with the rent, they got first and last month's rent up front. So at least they had the rent to cover the last month, but they couldn't get a hold of the guy. Know-how. Couldn't get him on his cell phone. I went to his place. It's just a weird thing. You know, the guy just split. Nothing I could do about it. Yeah, it's just frustrating. So anyways, I know we all talk about the contractors that don't pay, but one thing you got to realize, there are employees out there that, you know, are scumbuckets. That's just the way it is. So anyway, your talk about the competition, about you talk to your competition about safety and companies. That's something I think we need to do. I think one thing we need to do as tower, as deployment companies, and I'm going to limit it to tower companies, is talk to the competition. Now, you see it with these groups, like you have NATE, you have PCIA. You know, there's a consortium where they all talk to each other and try to help each other out with standards. The problem is with tower climbers is they get suspicious when they see all the big companies hunkering down together to set the standards for all the little companies that don't have time to go to all the meetings. And with that, I think you pretty much know what I mean by that. It's hard to make time when you're out doing the work every day. If you're a working tower crew owner or a chief or a foreman, it's really hard to make time for these things. Now, sometimes it works out. You have a good schedule, you're slow, or your guys can cover. But when you have to do it, it's very hard. Time is a big thing. You brought up about big companies. Yeah, I think you're right. I think when companies get larger, and I know you said about MasTec, but I think their priorities change. And I think they look at the contractors differently. If you do contracting for a small company, chances are they become your friends, you meet the owner. You know, it's one small company helping out another. It is a very different business when that happens. When you work for a large company and you're dealing with, say, a project manager who may be gone in 6 months, it's very different. I see that with the carriers. I'm not busting on any carriers, but sometimes you work with a carrier, you work with a project manager, you're trying to get paid. And in that guy's defense, he can't do anything. It's a different department. He doesn't know why the paycheck's not going. He did all the paperwork and submitted it. So it's just something to think about. As far as unions, you know, I hear that a lot. I hear a lot of bad things about unions, but I got to tell you, I worked with a lot of tower climbers who were in IBEW. And the guys I worked with were hard workers, good guys, conscientious, and the union trained them well on more than just climbing. You know, they got trained on electrical work, on wiring, on communications wiring. They got trained on first aid, CPR. They got trained more on just the climbing aspect of it. And I think that's what I look at. I mean, I have a good reference. Maybe you guys all had bad references. I did talk to guys that had union tower climbers, and they didn't like them at all. And again, I guess it comes down to the people you work with. I guess it comes down to the people you hire. Whether they're union or non-union, you're still either going to hire a good worker or a bad worker. I guess it's just the way it is. I got to cover your other points. You do have clueless and uncaring people in the industry, but I got to tell you, also have good people. I met Dr. Bridget Hester, Kathy Brand. I talked to her quite a bit. Wally Reardon, I communicate with him once in a while. These are all good people in the industry, people that are, you know, really pull the industry up and make us look good. And they all have different roles in the industry. So I think you can always look at the bad and concentrate in the bad, but sometimes you can look at the good and really appreciate the good that they're doing. So I guess my point is it balances out, right? So the other thing I want to point out is with TIE-RAP, I know you said about TIE-RAP, and I think the biggest thing is, you know, they're trying to set a, they're trying to show you a standard in the industry. They didn't set a standard, but the apprenticeship program and what they did, I really think it's a good thing. It's a step in the right direction. That's how you got to look at it. And when I was at the TIE-RAP workshop, there are outstanding company owners out there like Dave Anthony of Shenandoah Tower Service. That guy, I thought was amazing because he cares about his people. You know, he's a typical small company tower crew owner that cares about his people. He makes sure they train. He makes sure they have what they need. He talks to his people. The guy is out there with his people. You know, he's probably not climbing anymore, but he's still out there making sure that they're doing the right thing and trying to help them along. That really matters. That's the difference between, you know, the guy that's in it because it's a business and trying to turn a profit and the guy that really cares about the business. Now, with that saying, as companies get bigger, you have to have the trickle-down effect, right? You have to have the foreman, the manager that really cares about the people, that talks to them and understands what they're doing and makes an effort to show that he cares or she cares, to show that they care about their crews. So it is something to think about, okay? On-the-job training, the most valuable training you can get, yeah, I agree. I can't argue. I mean, that's absolutely true. And I agree about the aptitude comment too. Absolutely true. On the job training, and if someone has good aptitude or what I would call good common sense, oh, is that a gift from God? You know, I mean, it's just a gift. Okay, I got to move on. This is as long as it is. I know you guys like them shorter, but I tend to go a little crazy. So another post or response I got was, this says, Wade, I think you've asked the single most important question of all the telecommunications. Actually, I spent more than 15 years working aloft in every scenario imaginable, from new builds and installations to having a tower survey just to make sure that the tower is safe for a two-man climb. And some failed that, and I refused to let my people work on them. In my career aloft, we did not even have a near miss, which is pretty awesome. Riding the headache ball was not allowed. Hanging off the attachment was not allowed. Gin poles of all sizes were not used if they were in poor repair. Some of these practices were very inconvenient and probably cost my company money, but I never had to plan a hospital visit schedule, or worse, ever in my outdoor career. That's saying something. Way to go. Congratulations. Telecom is not the only area this problem exists. In many areas, you have to stand under a bridge for a short while before you decide that where you are standing is unsafe. I think that is a case of the bridge. A worker on the bridge cannot be responsible for the maintenance of the structure before performing the work on some part of it. If that were the case, repairing the guardrail might be a multi-million dollar project. I heartily agree with the training efforts and apprenticeship programs in all areas of telecommunications. When workers in our industry are well trained, costs actually come down because the worker is accomplished in less time. And the quality is always better. For the owner of the infrastructure, maintenance costs are generally lower. When infrastructure is in poor shape, then risk is higher. And the costs of maintenance and installation are higher. Just my two cents. Congratulations on your blog, and I say thank you. You know, it's funny you say that because I take so much heat for asking these questions, so I appreciate the fact that you just thanked me to ask the question, okay? I really appreciate it. It's just one of those things that I just think someone has to ask the questions. We can't go with a blind eye and just go on as usual. We want to, I mean, the goal is zero deaths, right? And minimal injuries. I would love to say zero injuries, but that's not realistic. But I honestly think zero deaths. Here's what I think. Here's my vision. If there is a death in the industry, it is something that everybody stops and looks at because it's a very rare incident. That's what I want to see. Last year with 12 deaths, and what were there, 12 the year before? That's terrible. We have to do better than that. That's horrible. And all the problems, all the injuries we had last year, we had some horrible injuries. We had safety equipment failure. We had people that just had near misses or mistakes. We just have to learn from those. But the problem is we don't communicate them. And we can't. You know why? Because everybody lawyers up. And I'm writing a blog on that too, because it just seems like in this industry, if we could share the information and be open with it, we would be so much better off because we would learn from it. But everyone's so worried about protecting themselves in this industry that we can't just, we can't share the information because we're lawyered up. We have to seal everything because we don't want anyone to know what happened. All right, I'm back. So, hey, do me a favor. If you're listening on Stitcher or iTunes, write me a review. Let me know you follow me, for God's sake. Let me know what's going on out there. And, yeah, keep me updated, okay? The other thing is, here's where I promote my products. I have several books written. Field Worker's Aid for Tower Site Work, if you're interested in that. I also have an Introduction to Tower Climbing, if you're interested in that. I have a cheap book on my scope of work training, which gives you an overview. And then what I did, I have a training program, which is out there. It costs a little more money, but let's face it, you guys got to get paid, right? If you don't understand or don't know how the scope of work works, I know that sounds funny, but it's a sow. If you don't know how the sow works, you're not going to get paid. It's a real problem. There's more to getting paid than just a closeout package. And also, you have to understand the change order process. So it all matters. I also created the Tower Workers Logbook for you guys to log your time. So go out there. I got plenty of stuff out there. And again, I'm going to be at IWCE conference. You'll get to see me at the Tower Safety and Regulatory Conference. And I was working on my presentation today. So if you want to come out and see me, take the time. It's going to be in Vegas in March. So I have all the links in there, and I'm going to be out there on March 17th. I wish I could stay for the whole show. It's just not going to work out. I got to do a little bit of traveling for other work in March too. So if you want to get back to me, again, you can leave a review on iTunes. I'd appreciate it. If you buy my book on Amazon, leave a review. Or in this blog, if you get to the link, which is at either wadesarver.com/podcast or wadeforwireless.com. And I have feedback in there. So getting feedback, getting my mailing list, I'm putting some more stuff together so you guys can understand a little more what's going on in the industry. And I'm probably going to start a YouTube channel soon. That's what I'd like to do. So if you're still listening, I know it was long today. I'm going to work to get these shorter. Maybe I'll come out with shorter blogs and do them more often. And let me know that too. What do you guys think? All right. Be smart, be safe, pay attention to what you're doing. That really matters. And have a plan, follow the plan, but don't be afraid to adapt, improvise, and overcome. Be safe.